You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the William Hill Golf Podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall with you once again to preview the events this week. We've got the Scottish Championship on the European Tour and the CGA Cup on the PGA Tour this week. The CGA Cup this year taking place in Las Vegas. Dave Tindall joins me on Skype today. Dave, first of all, a good morning to you, sir.
Yes, hello, Dave. We're recording this a bit later than normal, aren't we? On a Wednesday. It's going to be a tough week, though, I think. We've got two courses that we don't really know anything about in terms of course form on their respective tours, so it is a tricky one.
It is, and we'll get stuck into it very shortly. I just want to talk to you, Dave, about the... How did your Twitter... Because you've been pretty active on Twitter the last couple of days, talking about snooker and talking about golf. How did that all come about?
I just want to get a kind of feel for how good you are relatively at either sport.
Yeah, because I looked at your... I think you must be considerably better at snooker than golf, given what you've posted.
Well, that's what I think. I mean, I put on there... I've had an 83 break at snooker recently, but if I play golf now, I'd shoot mid-90s.
Yeah, and I think that puts you in the
surely
top.
Surely that's better at snooker, isn't it?
Well, I think that puts you... it's all speculation, isn't it? And I think that's puts you in like the top 0.5% of all players that have ever played snooker, basically.
I don't think it's that high, is it? It's like... There's no definitive answer, but I was looking for, if you say you managed 100 break, which I'm sort of trying to get, what would that make you in terms of a golf handicap? It seems to be, the answer seemed to be, you know, fairly low single figures.
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6, maybe.
Yeah, I think that seems about right.
What's your respective bests in either sport?
Well, I will have shot at golf when I was younger, mid-80s. Golf, and my highest break was just over 50, I think. 52,
yeah,
I think.
Pretty good.
Yeah, so it's not bad, but I think now I'm lucky to break 95, and I've not played snooker for such a long time. I dread to think how you would pummel me on the bears, Dave.
Because I mean, it's famous. I mean, I have once shot an 81 at golf on a Cookridge in Leeds.
Yeah.
But that was the only time ever I've been a member of a golf club, because I don't like golf clubs, basically. All the etiquette, car parking nonsense, I sort of shy away from it. But obviously, you kind of try and... I don't know, sometimes you relate it back to ability, but then you think, if you just practice a lot of anything, you become better at it, don't you?
Yeah.
So, ergo, I'm now playing... Well, I was playing a bit of snooker, and I've become better at it, whereas I haven't played golf in about 18 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know what I'm expecting.
You mentioned etiquette there, Dave. Last week's winner, Tyrrell Hatton, at Wentworth, there was more focus on his hoodie than his actual golf game, it seemed, on Sunday. I think he's fantastic, Tyrrell Hatton. He gets wound up, lets his emotions loose on the course, but then... can knuckle down when needed as well. He was changing his shoes in the car park. He was wearing this Adidas hoodie, which I thought looked fantastic. And on top of all that, he's an exceptional golfer now, and he's risen to prominence in the last 24 months or so with some wonderful performances. And he's added the BMW PGA Wentworth to his list of titles last week.
Yeah, he's a funny old character. Just on the hoodie, I'll say I don't want to waste more than 2 seconds talking about hoodie. He wore some clothing that had a hood on, end of story.
Yeah.
Irrelevant to the entire history of life. It's strange, isn't it? Because he seems to be absolutely furious, and yet he smiles a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a lot of middle ground, does he?
I think it probably helps him, doesn't it? I just think it's maybe just a way to release his emotion. And
I guess he must, he must do, because he's not just out and out furious. He sort of mixes it with a lot of smiling.
Yeah.
Where some players are absolutely on an even keel and give nothing away, have poker faces. But he seems to sort of lurch from one, oh, the whole world's against me, to sort of laughing at himself. So it's a funny mix he's got. But as you say, it works for him, and it doesn't quite fit what the narrative people want to come up with. I think people want to sort of think, well, he's a hothead. If only he could calm
down. That's not right,
is it? But as you say, like McEnroe at tennis, it fuels him, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, and I like the fact he has
this dialogue with himself going on all the time.
Yeah, he narrates his round, doesn't he, which is always good and fun to watch as well. Yeah, I thought he was terrific last week. And once he hit the front, he never looked like being beaten, really, did he? I know Victor Pérez came with that run on Sunday, but I thought Hatton was always in full control once Fitzpatrick and Lowry had fallen by the wayside. He was the one that took that event by the scruff of its neck.
Yeah, and I think winning in America earlier this season has given him that sort of sheen of confidence that, well, I can win there when a lot of the kind of English guys can't.
Yeah.
You know, I can win this one too. And yet again, we see another winner of that tournament that was not only English, but was brought up in the south of England where they used to attend it as a kid. So it's quite a sort of link, that, isn't it? He used to get all sorts of people. Simon Kahn was another sort of shock winner, but he fitted that mould as well.
Yeah. And in the Shriners, Martin Laird picked up the title. I thought Sunday was entertaining to watch. That bunker shot on 9 was incredible, and then his up and down on 17, I think, eclipsed that bunker shot on 9. It was just an impossible position to get the ball up and down, and he managed it. And despite bogeying 18, he went into the playoff and managed to triumph in the playoff, which I thought many people thought Matt Wolff would be the man to beat in the playoff, and Martin Laird rolled in a long putt to win.
Yeah, it pops up every now and again, doesn't he? But obviously a couple of guys on Twitter had backed him.
Yeah.
Well done to them. Excellent performances. And he's got a great record in the desert. It always seems odd, doesn't it, for a Scotsman? But it just seems to thrive in those conditions. Although, as we'll come on to, this week's course isn't very desert-like at all.
No, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays. We'll start with the Scottish Championship, though. It's not a strong field this week, with the majority of the top players taking in the CJ Cup in Las Vegas. But this event is taking place at the Torrens Course in Fairmont St Andrews, and this course has only been in existence for 20 years. It's Sam Torrens design, has hosted the Scottish Senior Open 6 times, and I guess the purists won't label it as a links, given it is modern, but it is a links, basically. It's a modern links. And Matt Wallace tops the betting here with William Hill at 11-1. Lee Westwood 12-1. Aaron Rye is 14s, along with Eddie Pepperell. Robert McIntyre is 16-1. Renato Paratore and Sam Horsfield and Matthew Jordan, all 25s. Gavin Green is 28-1. Connor Simon, the betting at 33s, along with Brandon Stone and Matthew Southgate. Masahiro Kawamura is 35-1, and it's 40-1 and bigger the rest. It's reasonable to assume links form is going to translate here, and the weather's going to be a factor, but it actually doesn't look that bad, actually, for this time of year anyway. Not much rain in the forecast, wind set to die down over the weekend as well, so I'm expecting to get low scoring conditions here in Scotland this week.
Funny weather forecast, isn't it? Because when did you last look at that weather forecast?
I looked at it this morning, and it was clear all 4 days, and the wind was up a little bit on Thursday, but set to really calm down over the weekend.
Right, because I definitely going to be dry, but I looked at a forecast that said it's going to pick up on Saturday, the wind.
Oh, right, okay. I suppose it does depend where you're looking,
doesn't
it, I suppose?
We could both be absolutely right at the time that we read it, and then it could go, we both could be horribly wrong by the time you get there. I've actually played the course.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. When was that?
About 6-7 years ago.
Okay.
And I actually played, we're talking about sort of comes back to golf a bit. I must have been playing a bit more at the time because I thought I'd won a trip to Dubai because I'd got some huge score on my handicap. And then some bandit beat me by a mile. I thought, that is not possible. I honestly thought I'd have a chance there. I don't know. If only I could remember much about it, though. I just remember being... I think it was quite undulating. I think compared to a normal links, I remember it was quite undulating. I think
fairways are quite wide, aren't they? From what I've read, anyway. I've not seen any of the Scottish Senior Open events here, but yeah, the fairways quite wide.
Probably helped me, to be honest.
Yeah, run up areas into the greens as well. Pronounced. Yeah. So
I mean, I sort of fade stroke slice the ball, so maybe I don't know if that helps. to have a left or right shot, but yeah, I just thought it was some lovely views you get as well, looking down. So you're high up, you're looking down on the old town and out to sea, where you can see, you know, Carnoustie across the way.
Yeah.
So it's a lovely setting, but it's only been going about 19 years, I think, that course.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you look at the senior Scottish Open scores, you've got winning scores between -4 and -17. So that's basically what you get on links, isn't it? If it was windy one year and calm the other, you get these huge discrepancies. Looking at that seniors was played between 09 and 14, and you've got four English winners and a Swede, which I always think is worth looking at because, you know, Northern Europeans used to the cold a bit.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether that helped me, but I have actually landed on an English player.
I've landed on a Scotsman, so...
Oh, well, fair dues.
Yeah, so that plays into what you were saying, I suppose, as well. Yeah. So go on, give us your selection then. We've got one apiece here, haven't we?
Yeah, he's someone who should already have a win under his belt in Scotland, Callum Shinquin.
Okay.
Do you remember that Scottish Open a few years ago where he absolutely just lost it at the end?
Who won that Scottish Open? Was it Cabrera Bayo?
I think it was, yeah.
I think it was.
I think Shinquin just needed to par the last, and he took six and then lost the playoff, I think. There's two ways looking at that. You could say he's got bad memories, but that obviously showed you can play golf in Scotland. He'd been eighth previously in a Scottish Open the year before. Maybe on his subsequent returns there, it was on his mind because he missed a couple of cuts. But in last year's Alfred Dunhill Links, played in kind of poor weather or windy, gusty, challenging weather. He was 10th, shot a third round 63 on that occasion, which was good. And he actually played well in the Scottish Open just gone. He, 30th didn't look amazing, but he was nearer the lead than that. And if you look at some of his numbers from that event, he was actually first in approach, gained 8.768 strokes on approach, 11th tee to green, just didn't putt well. But he'd had four positive strokes gained putting stats numbers on his previous four events, so that was just maybe a bad week on the greens that week. So I don't think we should read too much to that. Just likes playing in the weather. Good record in Scotland, and he's just a bit more under the radar. Missed the cut at Wentworth, but that was, again, tough condition. Didn't do a massive amount wrong there, to be honest. But I think back in Scotland, where I think is his best chance of winning an event, it would be a nice little story if he could get it done. I thought 66-1 in a fairly modest field for what he's done in the area was worth a go.
Okay, 66-1, Callum Shinquin. I've just got the one selection here. I'm going with Connor Syme as my pick at 33-1. I think it might have been a case of him needing a few weeks out of the limelight to a certain extent, but he's shown his liking already for these UK conditions since the restart. 19th in the English Championship, followed by a third place finish in the Celtic Classic, and then two eighth place finishes in the Wales Open and the Andalusia Masters, where he showed he can handle tough conditions as well. He's had a couple of chances to win in that spell, and I thought in a weaker field, I mean, he had two missed cuts on the back of that, but I think those were due to the exertions of his fine form before that. And I came back with a 48th finish at the Scottish Open, and I'm just hoping he can build on that this week. And he he struck me as a price worth taking at 33s in this field, Conor Simon. It's a tough event to weigh up, isn't it? Because we haven't got that bank of course form. But I thought Conor Simon would handle conditions and got good form in the UK swing. So he's my bet at 33-1.
Yeah, I mean, when you say miss some cuts, I mean, one of those was the US Open.
Yeah, exactly.
Fair enough. And a pair of 75s isn't as bad as it looks when you look at some of the scoring. Then he missed the cut in the Irish Open the next week. But again, he'd flown straight back from America, so maybe he wasn't quite prepared for that. So I think he sort of got a foothold again in the Scottish Open. Yeah, so I can see him kicking on.
There were quite a few that I liked away from Conor Syme. I thought Matthew Southgate would go well this week. He's 33-1.
Yeah,
he's just got such an incredible bank of links form, hasn't he? And he was a ninth in the Scottish Open and mid-division last week at Wentworth was a decent run as well. And 33s, that tempted me on Southgate. And the other one I liked was Sean Crocker, who I think is just going to pop up soon. He just keeps making cut after cut after cut, which I really like. And he's a big talent, Crocker, and he's 50-1. So those were the other two that caught my eye from a betting perspective.
Yeah, I looked at a couple of others. Matthew Jordan at 25-1. I don't know whether you...
I just thought the price was a bit skinny, but he was one that popped up when I was looking through the event.
Just put me off.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fifth in the Alfred Dunhill Links, lots of Links experience. But yeah, 25, I don't know, in my head I was opening the prices and hoping to see him at 33s, that sort of price. I thought 25s was a bit short. I mean, Eddie Pepperell plays great on the Links.
Yeah.
You think he's just building towards a win, maybe 14-1.
Definitely.
Could see him going well.
He was the one at the top of the betting, I think, that caught my eye at Pepperell over Wallace Westwood and Rye.
Yeah. Grant Forrest won the St Andrews Trophy there, and I actually found a video of him playing in that, but he had short sleeves on. So I thought, right, that wasn't indicative of the weather we're going to get this week. So that slightly put me off him. Might be a bit of a silly reason. But again, 40-1, okay, but I wasn't jumping about. Mark Warren's played the course quite a few times. Another Scotsman, he's 40-1.
Yeah.
Which could maybe be a decent price.
Yeah, kind of looking at that angle, aren't you, of players that have played well in Scotland, basically.
Yeah, because that's all we've got to go on, to be honest, really. So, as I say, it's a difficult week with two new courses. But so I'm going to keep it light with just Shinkwin at 66.
Yeah, OK, I'm just going to go with Conor Syme at 33s. Let's talk about the other event, the feature event this week, the CJ Cup. And here at William Hill, we are top price guaranteed on the top 10. Plus, we are paying 7 places, so that's... incredibly competitive in the marketplace this week on the CJ Cup, and got a top class field, haven't we? John Rahm is 17-2, Justin Thomas 10-1, Rory McIlroy 12-1, Xander Schauffele 12-1, Matthew Wolff is 18s, Patrick Cantlay 22s, along with Colin Morikawa. Tyrrell Hatton is 22-1, Hideki Matsuyama and Daniel Berger both 25s, Brooks Koepka 28s, along with Tommy Fleetwood 30-1 and bigger the rest. The breaking news, well, I'll say breaking news, it broke yesterday that Dustin Johnson had tested positive for COVID, so he's not in the field this week. And he would have had a really good chance because this event is being played at Shadow Creek in Las Vegas this week. And he holds the course record there. He's played this this course with his father-in-law, Wayne Gretzky, a number of times. And it's a Tom Fazio design. It hosted the match in 2018, Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods. And as you referenced at the top of the podcast, Dave, it's not a Vegas-style course, is it, really?
No, I've seen this one as well, actually. But I think you had to be a high roller to play it, and I was an incredibly low roller. because I stayed in the Wynn Hotel once.
Okay.
You've been to Vegas,
haven't
you?
Yeah, I have, yeah. And the Wynn's down at the bottom of the strip, isn't it?
Yeah, so I stayed in the Wynn and you could see it out the window. I thought, blimey, that looks nice, but absolutely 0.5% chance of ever playing it in my life. So I just looked at it and it did look very nice. But it did make me think, blimey, they can't have just create things because here we are in the desert. And they've made this course that's just looks like it's been lifted from somewhere else. In fact, on that, Tiger Woods, when he played the match was terrible, wasn't it, to be honest?
It was.
The standard was awful. But I do remember thinking, oh, what a lovely course that is. Tiger Woods, on the eve of that tournament, said how much it looked like a track from the Carolinas, which I think is one of the clues I'm going on this week, because it's not cactus and desert and shrub and sand. It looks like a rolling course from the Carolinas, sort of hilly. Well, not exactly hilly, but just sort of rolling and undulating. So I think that's a decent angle. And others have said it could be like Augusta. Just, I think maybe the angle there is just how immaculate it looks. I've read some of the press conferences this week, and they're all saying the greens are just absolutely sensational. So there's a few clues there, and that's all we've got to go on, really. I mean, the other thing, it's Vegas, it's altitude, so the yardage on the course isn't particularly daunting at 7,500.
Do you think those that played last week have an advantage coming into this week?
Slightly, maybe, but you could argue that it's another week in the same place, and they might all get a bit, I don't know, you know, sort of, not that it's in lockdown or anything, but it's, you just got that sense of maybe you just all crammed into the same place for another week.
It's only 2 weeks though, isn't it?
Yeah, 2 weeks in Vegas though, Dave, is it drive you mad?
Did you not enjoy Vegas?
I absolutely love it. I mean, I've been loads of times to Vegas. I did 10 days once.
That seems a long time.
It does, but you've got to sort of learn how not to go mad.
Yeah.
Sort of pace yourselves. So we'll see how that goes. But by the way, just before we move on, you know Tony Finau's withdrawn as well.
Yeah, I did see that. I forgot to mention that.
JT Poston and Robbie Shelton are the two that have come in for those two. So it does have a DJ was favourite, wasn't he? So it has affected the betting a little bit. It's kind of trying to make clever guesses this week. I've come up with two bets.
Are you leaning on anything statistically then, or is it just about a feel for the course kind of thing?
Well, it's hard to... I mean, what are you leaning on anything stats-wise?
Yeah, I just think... I think you're going to have to be pretty good off the tee here, to be honest.
Yeah, I did. Brooks Koepka was interviewed, and he said you've got to be playing from the fairway. I mean, golfers say that a lot, don't they?
I don't think of it in that sort of terms. I just think strokes gained off the tee was a stat that I looked at because, I mean, it is played at altitude, but it's still quite a long golf course. And to be honest, I'm looking forward to seeing it because I watched a bit of the match. I think the match suffered because the trash talking, in inverted commas, was so dismal.
Lame. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's why the match suffered. And then it was just... I think the problem with the match is it just didn't... The money just didn't matter, did it? That's the problem with all these events. There's no edge to it, yeah.
No.
Because you know that Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods have got enough money to last a million lifetimes.
Yeah. So that doesn't help. But yeah, I'm glad you say strokes off the tee for my first pick because I think he's very much one of those who fits that bill.
Go on then, Dave, lead off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Paul Casey.
Okay, 50-1.
So it's sort of piecing the puzzle together a little bit, really, because you go with this Carolinas angle. I mean, to be honest, I really am piecing it together in some ways because... two of his wins have come not even in the Carolinas, in Florida, but that was at the Valspar Championship, where the course there was always described as being like a Carolinas course. Yep. So it's about the kind of visuals, isn't it, I guess, that we like. But Casey, in the Carolinas, he's got a load of good form. He's got, for example, three top fives and three more top 15s. In his last eight starts in North Carolina, that's taken into account Quail Hollow, which is a Fazio design, Sedgefield and Eagle Point. So he's got that. I even looked, you know, he said about altitude, if he'd played at Crans-sur-Sierre, and he did, and he racked up 10th, 8th and 3rd in three consecutive years, which was good. The other altitude event I thought about was Chapultepec in Mexico.
Yeah.
Again, Casey's right up there, 11th, 3rd, 12th, 16th in his four goes. So he's got kind of, you know, logical correlating form that I'm hopefully might count for something. In terms of just how he's playing at the minute, obviously he was brilliant in the PGA Championship at Harding Park. And again, as if you said about driving the ball, his performance there wasn't a surprise because he's one of the best strokes going off the tee customers.
Yeah.
And that was a big thing that week. So he was runner-up there. Also played nicely in the US Open, tied 17th. I just think maybe he's been a little bit underrated. I mean, there's only 72 go to post. We're without Dustin Johnson, no Tony Finau. I think Casey can certainly get in the mix here. And with all those each-way places, I thought 50-1 was more than fair.
50-1, Paul Casey, with seven places here with William Hill. I like it. I'm going with Sung Jae-im as my first selection here at 35-1. I like the way his ball striking is coming around at the moment. Picked up 9 strokes tee to green last week when finishing 13th at the Shriners, and that was on the back of another solid week when finishing 22nd at the US Open. And the fact he played in Vegas last week might give him that added advantage. And I must admit, as I've mentioned to you, I'm focusing on those that are driving the ball well at the moment. Him has been fantastic off the tee in his last three events. You're just taking a risk with the putting with Sung Jae-im, but there's always going to be negatives, and his putting on bent grass isn't the best, much better on Bermuda, but he looks very close to another win to me, Sung Jae-im, and I thought this week could be the week for him at 35-1, so he's my top selection here.
Yeah, they interviewed him yesterday, and he was talking about how is it CJ? What is CJ? I always think of the character from sitcom character, which you won't know about.
From Saved by the Bell, is it?
Oh, no. Oh, my God. What a cultural clash. There is it. You ask your dad.
Go on.
Oh, what a moment. Saved by the Bell, CJ. I can't continue.
That's my era, to be honest.
Yeah, Reggie Perrin I was thinking of, but
okay,
not Saved by the Bell.
No, you've lost me, unfortunately.
And Screech.
Yeah. What was Slater called in Saved by the Bell? Wasn't he CJ Slater? I forgot.
Oh, really? All right.
I think he could have been CJ Slater.
So well, you know, Anderson, CJ in Baywatch.
Maybe.
Well.
Yeah, I think she was CJ in Baywatch. Yeah. Yeah.
But. The point there I was trying to make is that Sung Jae-im, in his interview, kept saying, oh, yeah, they're my sponsors.
Oh, right, OK.
So sometimes you think, do they try that extra bit hard to impress the sponsors?
Hopefully, this
maybe.
Week. Yeah, he's playing well, though, Sung Jae-im. I think it's just a matter of time for him. But the putter would need to come around. He's putted pretty poor. I've gone with two guys that have putted terribly recently, so
yeah,
hopefully
well,
that doesn't matter as much
we'll
as it...
See.
Does sometimes.
Do you like the irony factor that it's been moved from South Korea and a South Korean could win it?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
In America,
yeah. So Sung Jae-im is my first selection at 35. Who's your second pick?
Yeah, when you mentioned the fact that does playing last week help, and it might do, but I think certainly if you live in Vegas, that's got to help. So I'm going to go with Kevin Na at 90-1.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's won the other event at TPC Summerlin twice last year, and he was going well this time. Actually, he shot 66 66 64, to be, you know, around,
yeah, in contention
in the mix there. And he had a terrible final round, but you know, so be it. I think he just, once his winning chance had gone, it fell away. I was just looking at his off the tee stats, which are normally fairly poor, but he actually was 6 strokes gain off the tee last week, so maybe that factor, you like, he's coming round with his driver just in time for this event. A couple of quotes when they interviewed him, he said he has played this course a few times, which can only help. Says he really enjoyed playing it. It was a lovely course. and gets to sleep in his own bed, all that kind of thing. Plus, he's very quick to sort of go out, isn't he, in terms of his price, because he's won quite a lot the last few years, Kevin, now, and he quickly pings back to kind of, you know, old school Kevin now, could never win. I mean, his bare form isn't amazing, but it's hinting at something. He's thrown in some low rounds. 64 at St Jude, for example, where he was 35th, 65 at the Northern Trust, that 64 last week. He's a funny one, and he can do all parts of the game sort of exceptionally in any given week. Sometimes he's an incredible putter, other times he can hit his iron. So you get the feeling that if he can just put some of it together or be solid in the morning. He was second for driving accuracy last week and seemed to hit it quite a long way. Decent with his irons, scrambled well. I just thought 90-1 in a field of 72 was a bit disparaging to Kevin now. And he's obviously got that added bonus of being a Vegas resident. And the fact that sometimes you think, well, that's just a fact that might not come in use. But the fact that he's won in Vegas twice sort of adds to it, doesn't it? Beefs it up.
Yeah, I like it. 90-1, Kevin Na, your second selection. I'm going slightly shorter in the market. Bubba Watson, I fancy this week at 55-1. Just looking at the players that are striking it really well at the moment, and he just stood out. He's only had a couple of positive putting weeks in his last 10 events, unfortunately. But if he gets it going, I can see him being up there. I'm not sure this is a course where you're going to be able to fake it, and Bubba's just been... he's been on fire, really. He picked up 10 strokes on the field, tee to green, when finishing 31st at the US Open. Prior to that, he'd picked up 5 strokes, both at the Northern Trust and BMW tee to green as well. Solid finishes there, 18th and 16th, respectively. Now, we've sort of questioned where the desert form is going to translate this week, but Bubba has a tremendous record at the Phoenix Open with 5 top fives in the last decade. I really do like him this week. I think he's close, Bubba. I just think it all depends on the putter. But if he can put even averagely this week, I think he's going to be bang up there. So 55-1, Bubba Watson, my second pick.
Yeah, he's playing in some charity four ball today, isn't he? Wednesday, with him and Ricky Fowler against, funnily enough, Kevin Na and Benny Ahn.
Oh, that'll be interesting then, to see how that pans out.
Yeah, I don't know whether it means a couple of percent under his chances, and the fact that he's playing some sort of competitive match there might just help a little bit. At least he'll, you know, he won't just be ambling around hitting a few shots, he'll be trying.
I
agree. I think he's got some stuff going for him this week, Bubba. And you look at his strokes gained tee to green stats: third at the US Open, fifth at the BMW Championship, first at St Jude. You know, he's not all about just hitting it a mile and seeing it where it lands. If you know, that actually translates into some strong stats. So as you say, if he can somehow read these greens, I mean, if they are fast greens, and it does remind him a little bit of Augusta, then that's got to help as well, hasn't it?
Definitely. So Bubba Watson's 55-1. Let's talk through a couple of the others. Who was closest away from the two picks you've made, Dave?
Well, I thought Rory was interesting.
Yeah.
Again, this is the sort of course he likes more than maybe a wide-open desert course, although he just played great in the desert as well. But he always says if he could pick the course to play for the rest of his life, it would be something sort of between the trees, because that's where he kind of visualises stuff. He can sort of work his shots off there. I just think he's got to get it going, hasn't he? I think the Masters is going to be massive for him. Talking of Fazio, I mean, Rory's a double winner at Quail Hollow, which Fazio designed.
Yeah.
I also looked at his form at Chapultepec for the Mexico, where he was 5th, 2nd and 7th. And even at Kranz up in the Swiss Mountains, 2nd, 3rd, 7th, 2nd. So likes a bit of altitude as Rory. And the US Open, maybe people were disappointed that he didn't go through with his effort, but he was still tied 8th.
Yeah.
On a very, very tough course. So I think he's building towards something, and you could argue that 12-1 to win this, rather than a similar price for the Masters, you'd rather be on here.
Mm. No, I agree with that. I looked at what did you think to Colin Morikawa this week at 22-1? Missed the cut on the number last week at the Shriners, and I thought he, again, is just a little bit underestimated in the market. I think he should be the same price as Wolf this week. I know Wolf's coming into this on the back of that second last week and second at the US Open, so can kind of understand it. But Morikawa's a major winner who's won three of his last 20-odd starts, isn't he? So I thought 22s on Morikawa was fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the one where you think, well, there seems to be nothing taken into account that there's only half a field this week and some of the big names have dropped out. I mean, that's the sort of prices he's been going off in much more better events and full field. But yeah, 22-1, he putted bad, didn't he, last week, which he can do. That can suddenly get to him. You think, is he this guy a terrible putter or not? But
maybe he's just streaky, you know, like Mickelson has been in the past.
I think so. I mean, he was first for strokes gained putting when he won the PGA, which was obviously showed something, different sort of grass type. But yeah, I mean, he's another Vegas resident as well, isn't he? So
yeah,
you'd like to think that might help a little bit. I suppose some of the interesting ones. What do you think of the guys who are coming over from Wentworth?
I struggle to get excited about Tommy Fleetwood at 28-1 or Matthew Fitzpatrick at 35-1. I'm not convinced this is a course that's going to suit Fitzpatrick as well as Wentworth did last week, and he faltered on Sunday there. Fleetwood continues to flatter to deceive, and I suppose Justin Rose is the other one who a few people will look at and see 50-1 and think that he showed glimpses at Wentworth, but he was up there on Thursday, wasn't he, and didn't quite go through with his challenge. I just wonder whether there's just still a few holes in Justin Rose's game at the moment.
Yeah, on the stats at Wentworth, it was his putting that let him down. He lost five strokes on the green, but he hit it decent enough tee to green, was 14th in that category as he was in approach.
Yeah.
I don't know. I haven't got a lot of trust in him at the minute. I think at some point in a tournament, he'll throw in a round that'll take him out of it or not keep him up with the pace enough. So I mean, of those, the one I like from the sort of Wentworth contingent is Ian Poulter, just because he's 66-1. He's always interesting at this time of year. I looked on his list of wins, and six of his 12 European Tour wins have come in October and November. So for whatever reason, he thrives at this time of year. He posted a picture of himself on Twitter at the North Pole. That was his route to get to Vegas.
Right.
But you know what he's like. Some people might have seen that, oh, that's a bit of a trek, haven't they? But to him, it's like, oh, look, I can do a video of me at the North Pole. So he's always upbeat, isn't he? Positive, takes the positives out of stuff. I think the course might suit him as well, Poulter. So I thought of the lot coming over from England, he might be the best of them at 66s.
Very good. Shall we recap the selections this week, Dave?
Yes.
You start off with your pick in the Scottish Championship.
Yeah. So I'm going to go for Callum Shinquin, a point each way at 66-1.
Yeah, I'm going to take Connor Syme, a point each way at 33s. And in Vegas?
Yeah, in Vegas, a point each way on both of these. That's Paul Casey at 50-1 and local man Kevin Na at 90-1.
I'm going to go a point each way. Sung Jae Im at 35-1 and Bubba Watson at 55-1. Enjoy that, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. We'll keep our fingers crossed. Maybe it wouldn't be the worst thing to go back in at halfway, would it, when we know a bit more about each course? But I guess we've only had three bet seats this week, so we've got scope to do that.
The CJ Cup, top price guaranteed here at William Hill on the top 10, plus we are paying seven places. Don't forget, you can follow myself and Dave on Twitter as well, at D Kellner and at Dave Tyndall Golf. Thank you for your company this week, and hopefully you have some luck with your golf bets. And myself and Dave, we will be back next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.